Okay, good evening. We're going to go ahead on and get started. It's going to be a little different than in the past. We waited for people or we played music. And tonight, we're not going to do either. We're just going to go ahead and get done. Not that I'm in a hurry, but it's just being good stewards of the time that we've been given. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for this opportunity to share with my sisters and brothers, Father, your word. And I pray that it would, as always, be rightly divided, Father. And I just pray for my brothers and my sister that we can let go of the cares of the day and just focus on what you have for us here and now. You've done great things, Father. You're doing great things, and we know that you will continue to do great things. Thankful for all the things that you've allowed us to see and do, especially during this last few days, Father, just fellowshipping with family and friends and just taking advantage of provisions that you've given, Father. So we thank you, Father, for just bringing us to this place. We love it. We just love you so much that we want to just talk about you as every chance we get. So we give you all praise and all honor and all that you are in our lives, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Couple things are going to be a little different tonight. First of all, I'm going to switch lanes. I'm going to go to the book of Psalms, Psalms 51, verses 1 through 19. Psalms 51, verses 1 through 19. And I'm going to let you know that tonight, Lord willing, there will be two takeaways. The first one will be concerning repentance, learning, and not assuming anything that everybody sitting here knows. I believe you do, but I'm going to go a little bit further and just try and dig into that and give us a better meaning of what that really is about. Secondly, what I'm going to encourage through the word, God's word, is to take a stand for what you believe in. You know, today we've gotten to the point where we're too busy to take care what is priority. And that's spreading the word, talking about the word of God and what it should and what it will do in our lives. And in addition to that, within these last few weeks, I'm just so encouraged because I've seen our brothers and our sisters truly see the result of praying. And I always say prayer changes things, and it just blessed my heart greatly. The last prayer night blessed my heart greatly to see those among us really, really understand that there is something to this prayer thing. I mean, prayer works. It changes things. God loves us, loves it when we communicate with him, when we talk with him. So two takeaways: understanding what it means and living out repentance. Secondly, taking a stand for what the Lord has instilled, has imputed into us. And this is where I'm going to go tonight. Psalms 51. Psalms 51, verses 1 through 19. I'm going to read it, and we're going to dissect it. Psalm 51 is a psalm when Nathan the prophet went to David after David had gone into Bathsheba. And I think it's safe to, I'm not going to even, to believe that everyone here knows the action, interaction with Bathsheba. So not going to go into that. That's where we're going to start. And in this verse, in these verses, David broke two of God's commandments. He broke the seventh commandment, which said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." David did commit adultery with Bathsheba. David also broke the sixth commandment, which says, "Thou shalt not kill." David broke it indirectly in that he arranged for Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, to be put in the front of the battle that he might be killed. This was a cold-blooded act on the part of David because Uriah was one of his mighty men and one of his most faithful followers, or he would never have gone into the front of the battle at David's command. On the surface, it looked as if David had gotten away with it. David was God's man, and David was not going to get away with it. During that time, when David kept quiet, he was a tormented man. He told us in Psalm 32 what really went on in his heart. And Psalm 32 reads, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. Your vitality was turned into the drought of summer." Selah. Verse 5. "I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." And God did. He constantly forgave David as he does us. Verse 6, Psalm 32. "For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him." Be glad, verse 11, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Those are the words of encouragement that he's given us. And when we look at David and see all the things that he did, let's be careful, because we have a tendency to think that he's worse than us because of the certain sins that he committed. But keep in mind that God does not put a weight or number or price on that area of sin. God is faithful, and he cannot look upon sin. So let's be careful when we judge. And as anyone, for that matter, whether they be someone in the Bible or someone that we know personally, let's hold back on the judgment. It says, "Judge ye not, because for that same measure you will be judged," or can be judged. And we don't want that. Okay. Then God sent Nathan the prophet to David, demanding an audience regarding an urgent matter. We can read this account in 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 6, and 2 Samuel 12, 10 through 14. And this is what transpired. This is where I say, take a stand. Uriah was taking his very life in his hands when he went into David and said, "Hey, you know, you messed up. You did some things that were wrong." And just by the nature of where they were. But what you're going to see here is that Nathan went to David and he just spoke the truth in love. And this is the account of it here. 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 6, and 2 Samuel 12, 10 through 14. Verse 1, "Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, 'There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom. And it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one of the wayfaring men who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord live, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And David had three ways to respond to Nathan. First, he could have said he denies the charges. Secondly, he could have had his guards take Nathan out and execute him. He had that option. The third option was David would admit the charge. David made confession of his sin. No one dares to point the finger at the king, but Nathan did. And we, you and I, have to get to the point where we have that boldness to point the finger at the king. And we don't do that. Well, I got to respect him because, or her, because of their, wherever they are in our lives, better than us. Let's put it that way. They're not. They're not. They're humankind, just like us. They make mistakes like us. Now, the only thing is they don't take criticism like we do because some of them feel they're above the law or whatever the case may be. And so they can instill fear in us, and subconsciously we accept that. But if you look around today and you'll see what's going on, or look back, I don't always encourage looking back, but in this case, look and see what has happened, how things have transpired. And when I was here the last time, I got to share with you some of the things that are happening. Where were we when Roe versus Wade was passed? Where were we when they said, okay, as of today, transvestites have more rights than you do? You know, they don't have to accept you for being a Christian, but you have to accept them for being different. Or so many other things that have been accepted, taking prayer out of school, things like that. Where were we? And with the things that are happening around us today, where are we? You know, we need to take a stand. We need to take a stand as Nathan did. Maybe not to that extent, but we need to stand up for what we believe in. It's mandatory, folks, because the longer we allow these things to happen, the more these things are going to happen. So just taking a stand and say, you know, I even though you may feel there's nothing I can do, well, my voice doesn't make any difference. It does. It does, especially when you're praying to the Lord. Your voice makes a tremendous difference. He wants to hear from us. So let's be aware of that. And take the same stand that that Nathan did. 2 Samuel 12, 10 through 14 says, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you for your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son," S-U-N. "For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the son," S-U-N. "So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord," repentance. "And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin, and you shall not die. However, because this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child who is born to you shall surely die." God cannot allow us to continue to sin. He can't. And even if we think we're getting away with something, the idea of reading those passages to let us know, for those of us who are only taught about this in Sunday school, okay, David committed this sin and that's it. God does not quantify sin. David committed this sin and then he moved on with his life. Outwardly, maybe, but that's the same way with us. We have done some things and it just seems like we got away with it because we're still here. But the God that I know forgives your sin. He throws, you know, as far as east is from west, and even a little out of context, but he forgives that sin 70 times 7. And we need to be thankful for that. Don't take for granted that God hasn't done anything because of the way you're living or not living, that he's forgotten about it. God's well aware, and he can only look on sin for a certain period of time, and then he has to do something. Verse 1 in Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. And David called his sins transgressions. What does it mean to transgress? To transgress is to step over the boundaries of God. God has put up certain physical laws. He has put up certain moral laws. He had put up spiritual laws. Anytime man attempts to step over any of these, he'll have to suffer the consequences. To do this is always called transgression. You got to call it what it is. We can't dress it up. We can't say, I did this because it made me feel good. You can't say, I did this because I wanted to protect my friend. Sin is sin. Lie is a lie. So to do this, either physical laws, moral laws, spiritual laws, anytime you step over these, you have to suffer the consequences. Negative consequences in this case, because there are certain consequences that are positive, but in this case is sin. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. David also called his sin iniquity. He called it transgression in the earlier verse, and now he's calling it iniquity. And cleanse me from my sin. David also called his sin iniquity, which means that this is just plain wrong. Simple as that. This is wrong. And David knows that it was wrong. And he's not trying to justify it. You can't excuse this iniquity. You can't offer an apology for it. And you can't condone it. None of us come up to the standard of God. So when we commit these iniquity, there's no reason for it. We can come up with all kinds of excuses for it. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm just having a bad day, bad week, bad month, bad year. No excuse. But just remember that it'll find you out. So if you're doing something and you think that, you know, nobody knows, God knows, and the rest of us don't really matter concerning that. He knows, and he also knows the consequences that you're going to have to suffer. And again, we've all been through some things. We're all going to go through some things, and we've all are in some things right now. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And that is so true. All of us, there's none who have not. And we get into the point where we look at certain things and say, well, that's not a bad sin. You know, his niece is not as bad as him or her. But in God's eyes, it doesn't really matter. Sin is sin is sin. And the only correction to that would be repentance. Learn what that means. To turn away from that. And to stay away from that. And sometimes we turn, but it's just for a short season, and we go right back to where we were. And there are several verses that talk about that, and most of us probably know what they are. Verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me." In this case, David admitted that he was wrong. Verse 4, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." Evil in this context means that which is actually wrong. I don't know if that's really evil or not. Everybody's doing it doesn't justify it. Does not justify. Even though we are adults, we still hear those same reasons being given. Everybody's doing it. Sin is sin, no matter who's doing it. The Bible is still clear on what is right and what is wrong. There is no gray in the Bible. There's black and white. And if you read enough, study enough, really allow the Holy Spirit to give you knowledge and wisdom, then you will understand that there is no gray. And David admitted that he was wrong. And that's what we need to do. We're concerned about other people finding out that we have a weakness, that we're caught up in an area of sin that just is not going to benefit us anytime at all. So let's just be open and honest with where the Lord would have us. verse 5, before I have brought forth, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Well, I try not to sin. You and I were born with a sin nature. Do we sin because we have a sin nature, or do we have a sin nature because we sin? There is a difference. We have a sin nature. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. And he will heal you. He will heal us. You know, and I look around the room and, you know, I don't know everyone here, but I'm willing to make a general statement and say there's sin in our lives that we want to get rid of. There's some things in our life that we want to get. Do we truly believe the word of God? And if you say, yeah, but, then you're saying you don't. Do you truly believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? There's two answers, yes or no. No gray area. Do you believe the first four words in the Bible, in the beginning God? If you don't, then you're creating a gray area. If you can believe a certain part of the Bible but not some of the other things, then that's not true belief. And a lot of us are there. Well, this is okay, but I think this, what we're talking about now, is was for another time, another era, a different generation. No, it's not. Yesterday, today, and forever. That's the word, that's our God. David, as well as the rest of us, came into a world with a sin nature. We were evil yesterday, we are evil today, and we will be evil tomorrow. And you can say, well, brother, that really doesn't make me feel good. It makes me feel hopeless or doomed. That's not the idea. The idea is to let us know that we're fighting every single day, minute by minute, hour by hour, we're fighting that sin nature. And it tells us to crucify. That's why he tells us, crucify that flesh every day, every single day. And that's why God is sovereign, so he provides us with those new mercies every single morning. I'm giving you new mercies. I'm giving you another chance to work it out. And I'll let you know that no matter what's happening, there's always a hope and there's always a future. So he's going to give you that. So don't feel like what we hear. It is true. It is true. We do have that sin nature today, tomorrow, and yesterday. But repentance. David confessed he had a sin nature, but God. He did. But he knows. David trusts. And even when we hear David was a man after God's own heart, it meant that he was constantly seeking God. No matter how bad the situation was or how good the situation was. And with most of us, we only are concerned about reaching out when things are not going our way. Do you praise God for the goodness that he grants us every single morning? Do you praise him for that, or do you just take it for granted? Do you praise God when he challenges us, he chastens us? Because he wants us to do better. He wants us to be better. Do you praise him for that? Well, I'm not going to praise him because he's chastening me. Why not? Because if he didn't care, he wouldn't chasten you. But he cares. He can't help but care. God is love. And care falls under that umbrella. God is love. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. That verse 6. God is not interested in what you have been on the outside. It is possible to be baptized and be nothing more than a baptized sinner. Still unsaved. You may attend church. That is all exterior. You can still be lost. God says he desires truth on the inside. We can put on a good front. You can fool me. You can fool all the others around you. But he looks on the inside and he sees something different than what we see. He desires truth on the inside. He desires a pure heart. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Although David confessed his sin, it was God who made the first step towards David's forgiveness and cleansing, and it always is. Well, I've just changed my way. I've changed my lifestyle. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can be nothing. Without me, you are nothing. And again, if someone's sitting here for the first time, they feel like they're being beat on. I hope not. I really do. I hope all of you are strengthened in the spirit enough to know that we're pretty much helpless. Not pretty much. We are helpless. We are hopeless. But with God, all things are possible. Although David confessed his sin, it was God who made the first step towards David's forgiveness and cleansing. God took the first step when he sent Nathan. This is the application of the death of Christ to the life. God forgives because his son has already paid the penalty. He can do that. So it's paid in full. It's already been paid. So there's nothing that we have to do to earn this. Salvation is free. Free. Paid the price already. Verse 8, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. And this is all positive. Make me hear joy and gladness. And joy, the word in itself, it's not something that we can achieve, something that we can manufacture, something that we can muster up. We can muster up, we can conceive, we can create happiness. Happiness by surrounding ourselves with the things that feed our flesh, feed our spirit. And that's what we used to do. But joy is totally different. Joy is something that's imputed by the Holy Spirit. Happiness, I can create. Joy, I cannot. Because that happiness is going to fade. When that thing that I surround myself with starts to rot, rust, or burn, it's gone. Now my only recourse is to go back and regenerate that happiness. But when joy comes, it's internal. It gives you a heart. It gives you a sense of peace. It gives you hope. It gives you a future. It gives you a knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those are the kind of things that we get to see, get to hear, get to experience. David needed a spot remover. Hide your face from, verse 9, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. And my note was, David needs a spot remover. We all need a spot remover. Because there are things that are in us that we're trying to cleanse. And if we do experience some cleanliness, it's only for a season. That's why it tells us that these things that we enjoy, even areas of sin, it's only for a season. Thank the Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. This word for create here is the same word as in Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Out of nothing, David said, I need a new heart. Create in me a new heart. God wants to give us a new heart. What does this mean? It means to you and to me, it means a different way of living, a different way of talking, a different way of fellowshipping, a different way of praying. Everything changes because out of the abundance of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's ever in there, that's what's going to come out. So God has given us that. We have that. We can lean on that. We can cling to that, knowing that he wants to give us a clean heart. David said, I need a new heart. Create in me a new heart. God wants to give us a new heart. And I just want us to grab a hold of that, what that really means. Verse 11, do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. The word says God would never leave us. You can grieve God. You can quench God. You can never grieve him away or quench him away from you. Keep in mind that the Holy Spirit can be inoperative in a Christian's life, and that is what happened to David. He is asking that the Spirit of God may continue to work in his life. And that should be our prayer, that the Spirit of God will continue to live in our life through the what we consider the good times and what we consider the bad times, the Spirit of God. There's two things that will ensure that that would be the case. One of those, and the words that we use up front, were repentance. Repentance. It's not something that we have to be ashamed of. Those people that we're ashamed to admit our faults in front of have some of the same faults, possibly all of the same faults. We have to understand that. We have to be transparent. It's called, in my world, it's called, I'll get back. We just need to be clear and honest about what we're going through, why we're going through it. And don't think that it's shameful for our friends and family or church members to see our tears. It's fine. I encourage it because it just means that there's pain flowing out of the body. Now, there's two types of pain. There's tears of joy, and there's literally pain flowing out. Either way, it's all good. Don't be afraid. Well, I don't want anybody to see me cry because I'm a man. Yeah, that's what our dads encouraged us to, but that's a lie. It's an absolute lie. It's okay to let it go. Joy or pain is flowing out. Let it be. So that's what I encourage you. Restore to me your salvation. Uphold me to your generous spirit. And Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Sealed, locked in. You don't have to be concerned about anybody taking it away or losing it. And that's why when I hear the question asked, can we lose our salvation? My answer always has been no. And Lord willing, my answer always will be no, you cannot lose your salvation. Hold on to that. Verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. David did not lose, does not lose his salvation. He lost the joy of his salvation and he wanted communion with God. And the word that I want to use here is a word called intimacy. I know it's spelled I-N-T-I-M-A-C-Y, but I want to spell it I-N-T-O-M-E-S-E-E, intimacy. And it means that you're transparent. You're transparent to me. I'm transparent to you. So when we try and hide that sin, the nature of sin is that it's black and you can't see through it. Intimacy means pure, clean joy. So that way you can see, Richard, what's going on? Oh, praise the Lord, brother. Oh, good, better than ever. No, Richard, what's really going on? Well, you see, what happened is I was minding my own business and a friend of mine made me sin. Is that the truth, Richard? Well, it's half of the truth. I didn't tell the whole story, but the idea is to blame it on someone else so you won't know that Richard's a sinner. You already know that Richard's a sinner. There's guys in here who say amen to that, but they're being kind. But the Lord has a plan for you. Restore to me, verse 12, restore to me your joy, your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. God wants communion. He wants communion with you restored. How do we do that? Communion with God is simply called prayer. Plain and simple. That's all it is. Nothing fancy. No pattern. There are certain patterns that we can use that, you know, as far as the model prayers. But he wants to communicate with you and he wants to communicate with me. Let him. What do you got to lose? I'm communicating with the Lord. What can go wrong? Well, what has gone wrong has already gone wrong. And that should give us that motivation to pray. To be in prayer constantly, and then always seek repentance in everything. There's no sin, and I have to be careful with this statement, but but I'm going to say it. We're all adults. There is no sin that we should be ashamed of. And if we're ashamed of it, there's a real reason for that. Why are you ashamed of that sin? Are you trying to figure out if it's right or wrong? Think about it. And you already know the answer. That's why you're struggling. Because you know he's given us. My word is written on your heart. He's already given us morals. He's already given us ethics. He's already given us all of that. Now you know what's right and wrong. He's already told you in his word, either in black or in white, this is wrong, this is okay. So don't go in and try and take it and all mix it together, mix up the right and the wrong and come up with the black and white and come up with the gray. It doesn't work. What is he calling you to? What is he calling you from? And one of the things that I've said to many of the, especially the guys, he's always working something in and he's always working something out. Let him, whatever that is. Well, Lord, I'm just not comfortable praying in front of people. So what are you saying? You're ashamed of me? His word says, if you're ashamed of me to man, then I'll be ashamed of you, my Father. I'll be ashamed of you. You don't want that. You want to have an open relationship with him. Think about your loved one here on earth. What makes that relationship strong is communications. And even more so with the Lord. Because there are things that we can share with him that we don't have to share with anyone else. And if we're communicating with him, nothing pleases him more. Don't be ashamed. Pray. Pray. And I've been around a lot of groups, men and women, and I notice that there's a big discrepancy in how they pray, for the most part. And some of them, we look at the wife, the girlfriend, the friend, and we think that we have to pray for 5 minutes and 37 seconds, and we got to throw at least two verses in there to make it legitimate, and we got to be very emotional with it. That's not true, not at all. But there's so many of us who believe that's how we got to be. Don't allow them to set the standards for how you pray. Don't allow them or us to set the standards so when we pray. Be open. That's all the intimacy. He wants intimacy. You're praying to me, but you're hiding something. Don't you know who you're praying to? You're praying to God. I can see through that facade. Just be open and honest. If you can't be open and honest in your prayer, then you're certainly not open and honest in your life. You're holding on to something. You're holding on to something that you're ashamed for us to know. And I respect that. But you can't fool God. You can't. No matter how hard you try. You can't fool him. I want to know. Well, he already knows what's going on in my life, but he still wants to communicate. Even though he knows, he can tell you what's going on better than you can tell him. But that's not the point. He wants his kids, he wants his children to have open dialogue. Nothing's off limits. This is God. This is someone who loves you more than anybody you'll ever know. We need to trust him. We need to know that he's got us, he's with us. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. We got to know this, friends. Got to know it. Verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. That's what we want. We want that nephew, that son, that daughter, that cousin, that friend, that church member to be converted to him. We want him to know, them to know what we know. We got a God, and we found out over the years that he's been really, really, really good. So why don't you share that with them? And don't give up on them, ever. You know, we put timetables on pretty much everything. That's not God. He's open. I'm ready to hear you when you're ready, and I'm ready to take care of business when you're ready. He's always going to give you that opportunity, but he's never going to take it away from you. Now, there's something that all of us, most of us has heard, is called free will. He won't take it away. Well, why doesn't he just stop me? Why don't he just take that person out of my life so I can just get on with my life? You got something to say about that. There's too many of us who allow people to rent space in our heads. It's not a good thing. Not a good idea, regardless of how much you love them. Your children, I know we love our children, for those of us who have them or just a really close friend. He, the Lord, will hold things back to press us into service because we think that this is that genie in the bottle that we can just say, take this out of my life, and he will. There are times when he will, but there are also times when he won't. He is asking you to just step up and take control of your life in a humanly sense because we can't fix it. We can't fix anybody. We can't even fix us. We need to call on him. We need to pray to him. We need to repent from our sin and pray that others do likewise. We need to do that, and that's where a lot of us come short. We fall short of that. Some of us don't even call on him unless we're in dire straits. As long as things are going well, I'm good. But as soon as the mountain starts to crumble, then we call him. We don't have to wait for that. God, thank you for this opportunity to be on the mountain. Just pray that. Well, bro, I pray for everything, and there's just really nothing to pray about. That's never true, ever. Not just for you, and most of the time it really shouldn't be about you. It should be about your loved ones. It should be about people that you love, praying for them. And that never ends. There's people around us in this very body and other churches as well that are hurting. And nobody seems to care. We need to be about our Father's business. Verse 14, deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to be able to sing the praises of the Lord. That should be the desire of our hearts. It's challenging. It's very challenging because it requires you giving of yourself. And there are a lot of us who very rarely, if ever, give of ourselves. We're always looking at what can the world offer me? What can the church offer me? God wants us to have a heart about what I can offer the church body. What can I offer the body of Christ? And we miss that way too often. He's got a plan for us, friends. He's got a great plan. Verse 15. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall flow forth your praise. Praise the Lord and mean it. I was... Trust on the Lord and may his words always be on my lips. Open your mouth and let me feel it. That's what he's saying. You don't have to be eloquent. You only know whether you're good or bad when you compare yourself to someone else. Otherwise, you don't know. So Moses tried it. How'd that work out for him? And so many others. But Lord, I just don't. I'm laying too much on the line. On the line, as Esther might say. But it got to the point where she knew that she was brought about just for a time such as this. And there's so many more. As we look at the people in the Bible, the men and women in the Bible, they all made sacrifices at some point. Why do we think it has to be any different? Why do we think ours has to be a bed of roses, a life of ease? That's not what God called us to. Being a Christian isn't easy. I've heard things. 16. Oh Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall flow forth your praise. David wanted all of this for one purpose. And that was to edify the Lord. And that's what he's called us to, folks. A word that I use often, the only ability you need to serve the Lord is availability. He'll take it from there. Make yourself available. Be available, and he will use you in ways that you can't imagine. I don't care what your strengths are. He doesn't care what your strengths are. And for the most time, he does not want to use us in our strength. He wants to use us in our weakness. He wants to use us in an area where I didn't know I had those abilities. Through God, all things are possible. All things. And he will lift you up well beyond anything that you could have even dreamed or imagined. Just don't get stuck on what you think you should be. You might be the person that does the praying in the steam room, and people rarely, if ever, see you. You should be fine with that. You should be rejoicing with him in that. And there's some of us who do. There's someone who's praying for us right this minute. What does he have for you? Verse 16, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Are you ready? Are you willing? Are you able to allow yourself to have a contrite heart? Your call. You have to make that decision. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. This is what the Lord is calling him to do right now. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Are you ready for God to bless you? There's a price. There's a price for that. If you want him to bless you, there are going to be some things in your life that you're not going to like. And some of us here can definitely say amen to that. It's not going to always be good times. And as he approaches you, he wants to change your life. Are you willing to follow me? He's going to say, yes, Lord. And he's going to say, walk this way. Are you able? Are you ready? Are you willing? And when I think of that, I think of us as being raw material. R-A-W. Ready, able, and willing. Are you all of that? Are you willing to allow him to guide the steps in your life? And I can assure you with certainty that those steps are not going to always go the way we think they should. Now, what happens when you're following him and you don't like the path that he's leading? What's your option now? He'll allow you to walk away. If that's what you want to do, if that's where you want to live, have at it. But just let me warn you that there are consequences to this. Either you're all in or you're not. We can't have it both ways. We can't have my Lord and not our Savior. We can't have my Savior and not our Lord. It's not going to work. So we need to make a commitment. Lord, what would you have me to do? David wanted to praise God again. He wanted to please God. Do you want to praise him? Do you want to please him? You got a choice. Okay, here's a narrow road. Here's a wide road. Choose this day. And that's what he's going to ask us. And you have to make a decision. What you want to do. Some of us have. And we're around people now who look like they have. But again, going back to what we talk about, don't judge by the external. There are a lot of hurting people. Sin is that which is complicated. It is goodness that is simple. You can have a complicated life and continue to dabble in sin, or you can have a simple life and hold on to goodness. No dabbling. Hold on. Hold on tight. Those are two options that we have. sin which is complicated or goodness that is simple? Again, choose this day. That's what he's calling us to. When was the last time you wept over your sins? Rhetorical question, but think about it. When was the last time you wept over your sin? Oh Lord, what a sinful man I am. Can you ever forgive me? And that's why I encourage, it's okay. Shedding tears is fine. You don't have to be that macho person. It has nothing to do with that. Just let it go. Be honest, be open. When was the last time you cried out in the night because of your failures? What's a failure? Who determines what fail, when you fail and when you didn't? Rhetorical question. Think on that. When was the last time you cried out in the night because of your failures? And who told you you failed? Again, in order for us to know what failure means, that means we got to compare ourselves to another humankind. And you know about those humankind. Don't allow yourself to fall into that evil trap. My friend said, I fail. Based on what? What did God say? Well, God told me I just fell down, but he gave me an opportunity to get up again. I'll take that over failure any day. That's just me. There is forgiveness with God, but there needs to be confession on our part. Repentance. Is there confession on our part? Forgive me, Lord, for I have sinned. Is there confession on your part? Is there confession on my part? I can answer for me. I won't, but I can. And for those among us, you've got a pretty good idea. Because the word says we are people of like passion. If you're struggling with it, there's a good chance that the people around, maybe not 100%, they're struggling with some of the same things. And for some of us here, we know it's not just outward. We know that our thought life is atrocious. It's absolutely horrible. And I'm going to say that for most of us in this room anyway. Our thought lives are horrible because nobody can hear or see it. Lord knows. And don't just say, figure nobody sees it, so I can do this, I can get away with this. You're not getting away with anything. And that's why I can speak on that one with authority. Thought life can be just as destructive. All that anxiety, all that fear creates physical harm in all of us. There is forgiveness with God. But there needs to be confession on our part. His mercies are new every morning. We wake up every single morning and find new mercies sprinkled on our pillow. Don't ever take it for granted because it didn't have to be. There's some who have in the past and even as we speak here, who lay down, they never wake up. Just got a call this morning about a lady, elderly, who just died at 5:55 this morning. And she had a calendar. She had a diary. She had things to do, places to go. So she made her plans, but God overrode her. And she's not alone. Thank God she was a believer. She knew Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And now she's having conversation with him eye to eye. I thank God for those opportunities to see that and helps us put things in perspective. We're just a vapor. We're just dust. And that's where we're going to end up. So yeah, we do make these plans. But God's still going to direct the steps. Greatest is faithfulness. He is faithful. He's faithful to forgive. He's faithful to forget. Again, he's sovereign. He's faithful to love. And he's faithful to chasten. When he's calling us to do something, and you're hesitating, you're hedging your bet on your way is better, my words to you would be, obedience is better than sacrifice. 100% of the time. What's he calling you to? What's he calling me to? Am I listening? Are you listening? Lord, I understand you have a better plan for me, but I'm just not comfortable with that. What? Who are you talking to? Don't you think he knows? He made the he knows the very hairs on your head. He knows every beat of your heart. And yet, you're going to give him your worldly advice? Think on these things. Selah. He's got a plan for us, friends. And his plans are always for good and never for evil. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless me. He wants us to bless his church body. He wants us to bless the body of Christ. And we can't do that when our world revolves around us. He can't honor that. The Lord cannot honor you not honoring him. If you honor the God, he will honor you. And I found that to be 100% the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He will do that. But it doesn't seem like he has a good plan for my life. He does. The question is, do you? Are you blocking your own blessings? Are you disobedient in the things that he's calling you to? He can't honor you. He won't honor you. The things that we've been doing and doing for a long, long time, holding on to certain things, do you think that honors the Lord? And even when he's coercing us to let go of those things, to put those things down, you can't travel this narrow road if you're carrying all this baggage. Do we listen? Or do we say, well, Lord, I just want to have fun now, and I'll clean up my act in the spring of 2025. Okay. Who told you that you're going to cease? How do you know I'm not coming back before the spring of 2025? Even if I don't, who told you that you're going to see that time? We don't know. We don't know what the day brings, but we know who brings the day. We can count on that. So I just want to encourage you, my friends, study his word. Learn more about what it means, what repentance means. As you do that, as you start to stand up for what you believe in, what the Lord has called you to believe in, then you will see him answer prayer. And I'm just so thankful to stand here and say I've seen it. I saw it. I've seen it before, but I saw it last week and my heart was full. But I keep saying that because I want you guys to understand the power of prayer. I really do. And nothing can conform that or solidify that more than see him respond to your prayer. When you pray, don't look at the watch and put the timer on. In his time, we do that. We do that. God, I've been praying for this for 10 days now, and you haven't done anything yet. Well, you weren't ready. Well, how do you know I wasn't ready? Because you told me. Oh, yeah, I guess I did, didn't I? He knows. He knows. So whatever you're burdened with, lay it down at his feet, and I can guarantee you. And if it's not true, then whatever you paid to get in here tonight, I'll refund it. Father, we just thank you for this time that you've allowed us. And we pray, Father, that every word that was spoken, Father, was what you would have my friends to hear. So I'm just so thankful that I get to do this. And I'm so thankful, my friends, Father, that they choose to either be taught or be preached at. I pray, Father, that there was some teaching here tonight and that every word that was said would just encourage my friends, Father. And if there were any words that were said or a word that was said that discouraged them, I pray that you would just remove it from my minds even now, Father. So I thank you for my friends. I thank you for allowing them or causing them to come out tonight, Father, to hear what you had to say. And I pray that none were discouraged. I thank you for just getting us here, Father, and I pray for safe traveling for my brothers and my sisters, and that you would just show them, show yourself faithful. Show them that you can be trusted, Father. Show them that you are God of love. Show us how much we mean to you, Father. And I pray that we can, in turn, show you how much we mean to you, Father. I know there's nothing that we can do to earn it. You've already paid in full. But I just pray that we would live a life that glorifies you and you alone. Again, may you receive the glory of all that we've done and said here tonight, Father. Have your way. In the name of Jesus, our soon returning King, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you guys for coming out.